Welcome to Inspiring Health with Dr. Roxana Gabster, President and CEO of WellSpan Health, as she hosts candid conversations about organizational culture, value, and other pressing issues we face in healthcare and business today.
Hello, and welcome to Inspiring Health. I'm your host, Roxana Gabster, CEO and President of WellSpan Health, and I'm looking forward to my interview today. Extra excited to introduce a very special guest joining us, Keller Rinaldo Clifton, the CEO and co-founder of Zipline. Zipline's a global pioneering company in drone technology. Keller, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Roxana.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been fortunate enough to see Keller speak many times, and he's a really inspiring speaker and really fun to talk to. So I think you're all going to enjoy hearing what he has to share today. But Keller's joined me to talk about how we're working together to connect healthcare straight to people's front door. And so through our partnership, WellSpan will soon utilize Zipline's autonomous drone delivery services for transporting prescriptions to the homes of our patients. It's really exciting, as you can imagine. We have nothing like that here in South Central Pennsylvania, and it'll be especially nice for our patients who live in rural areas. So Keller, I wonder if you can share with our listeners, how will this work for folks getting a delivery, and why do you think this is such important work?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, we really, the way we talk about the overall experience of receiving a Zipline delivery is it should feel like teleportation. We often joke that we're building magical portals. And in fact, like that's, you know, when we were meeting with the WellSpan team and we were looking at how the technology works, because we essentially can, you know, the technology just attaches onto the wall of any hospital or primary care facility and enables a nurse or doctor or technician who's working in that building to take something a patient needs, put it into a box, walk it up to a window in the wall. We call it the magical portal. And then they just teleport it. You know, you pass it through the magical portal. And obviously, you know, it's Zipline's technology that's actually carrying that package from the hospital or primary care facility directly to the home, delivering it onto a front doorstep. The way that we deliver is about 10 times as fast, half the cost, and zero emission relative to the way that cars deliver things today.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. It's a little bit hard to imagine in the world that we are now, where we're using couriers to drive things from place to place. So I wonder about why you think this work's so important, Keller. What is it that drives Zipline to do this work?
Well, I started the company in 2011. We started building everything that became Zipline in 2013. We launched with our first customer in 2016, and that was actually the government of Rwanda. We originally were delivering blood transfusions to 21 different hospitals throughout the country fully autonomously. So Zipline builds these distribution centers. We build these autonomous aircraft that, you know, to give a quick sense, they weigh 50 pounds. They have a 10-foot wingspan. They can fly almost 300 kilometers on a single battery charge. And we deliver payloads of around 6 pounds. And so all of that, we launched in 2016, but the service grew and grew and grew. We grew from 21 hospitals to 100 and then to 1,000. Today, we serve over 3,000 hospitals and health facilities globally. It's become the largest commercial autonomous system on earth. We've delivered over 15 million doses of vaccine, 2 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine. In Rwanda, for example, we deliver 75% of the national blood supply of the country outside of the capital city fully autonomously. And, you know, the reason that it's important is that better logistics enables way better access to healthcare. We have been able to, with regard to vaccine, we were able to reduce vaccine waste by 60% and reduce missed vaccinations by 40% in one of the countries where we operate. In Rwanda, according to a study that was actually done by the University of Pennsylvania, they showed that we were able to reduce the maternal mortality rate at the hospitals we serve by 51%. So cut in half the number of moms who are losing their lives in childbirth. And so turns out better logistics has a huge impact on enabling different levels of the health system to be able to care for patients in the right way, never stock out of products, and even reach people in their homes.
That's amazing. And I mean, you're saving lives every day with autonomous drones. And I'm guessing that you maybe didn't realize when you started the company what an impact that that would have on those countries, and certainly can also have here in the U.S. It's something not every business can say, that they're saving lives. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a big part of our mission.
Yeah, absolutely. Same for us. So when we heard about your capabilities and we met you and we heard you talk about your mission, it was really inspiring. And we thought right away we could really benefit from the services Zipline's providing. More importantly, we knew that having a partner that aligns with our mission, vision, and values is also important to us because we care about our communities, just as Rwanda cares about their people. So I know we've talked in previous conversations about the ability to create and implement innovative solutions. From your perspective, can you really speak to the importance of innovation in healthcare and how that really drives better outcomes, but also what about the overall experience for people who are receiving these kinds of deliveries as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot there. First of all, everybody wants to talk about innovation because innovation sounds sexy, but yeah. Anybody who has ever actually innovated knows that it's primarily pain, you know, pain, humiliation, embarrassment,
that's
setbacks,
right.
Mistakes, failures. Yeah. You know, I'd really point out, like when we were starting to build this in 2013, every expert in global public healthcare told us that we were totally crazy. We were stupid. This wasn't going to work. Nobody would pay for it. Technology would never be able to do this. We'd right. never integrate with a national healthcare system. You know, we'd never get regulatory approval. No one would pay, just on and on and on. And, you know, there are a million reasons that a new way of doing something won't work.
Yes.
It was lucky for us that we had a few champions who were leading healthcare systems themselves. So, for example, the Minister of Health, yeah. who looked at this and said, this solves a real problem that I have, and it's worth trying. You know, we may fail, but it's worth trying and seeing if we could do this in a new way. And yeah. it was really thanks to her. I mean, she was the one who kind of guided us, had us focus on blood first as a kind of narrow first product that we could expand from there into all medical products. And so I would just, you know, point out that it really requires that vision for like, what is the problem, and a willingness to ignore a lot of experts who sound really smart and who are really smart. They are, you know, they're the most knowledgeable people in the world. But I think sometimes people get so much knowledge that they primarily just have knowledge of like all the things that won't work, you know, right. and all right. the reasons not to do something and all the things that can go wrong. But I think sometimes it requires someone to come in and be a little bit naive and say like, yeah. but what about this? Like, why don't we try doing this in a totally different way? You know, and I am reminded, I saw this flag recently. It's like a motivational, it was a picture on X, but it was like a motivational flag hanging in a gymnasium. And it said, we do this not because it is easy, but because we thought that it would be easy. and I think this is also like a very true expression of what it feels like to innovate, because there is, you know, it is way harder than you think. But I actually think that, you know, and the experts in many ways are right about how hard it's going to be and all the things that might go wrong, but it requires some amount of naivete to be like, oh, we can do this. Let's just go do it this way. You know? And then once you realize how hard it is, you're already like fully committed and you don't really have a choice other than to figure out how to make it work.
I love watching your video where your plane crashed like a couple times and you're like, yeah. Oh, it's so depressing. But that, you know, think of all the details that your team has worked on over the last decade. I mean, none of us can probably imagine all the problems you've had to solve as you've innovated. And so I think you're right. I mean, maybe the experts were thinking, oh, there's just so much to this, they'll never get it. But never underestimate what a group of committed people can do, right?
And to your point about why it matters, I think, you know, right now we live in a world that is moving very fast and there's a lot of innovation happening. I think there's all of these questions around, you know, what are the risks of AI? What are the risks of these social media platforms? What are the risks of like, you know, the so much technological power being in the hands of so few companies? I think, you know, there is a huge amount of technical innovation going into designing a small number of technologies that are sort of like, it's to be determined whether that's going to have a really positive impact or a negative impact on humanity. Whereas healthcare is one where it's like overwhelmingly obvious that we need technological innovation, that we should find ways, and particularly that it's not just about trying to provide better healthcare for like the richest 1% of people living in the United States or the richest 1% of people living in the world. It's a question of what about the 7 billion people who aren't in the golden billion?
Yep.
Their access today is either crappy or non-existent. And I think there are so many opportunities to apply technology and innovation to going and figuring out how do we extend access to people who don't have it? How do we reduce the cost of access? And, you know, most importantly, you know, something that one of my heroes kind of on the healthcare side, Mark Harrison, he was the former CEO of Intermountain Health. He always would emphasize, he said, the biggest lie we told ourselves in healthcare is that convenience is a luxury for the rich. Yeah. He said it isn't. It's a necessity for the underprivileged. And I think that that's so true. You know, so you see a huge amount of innovation on Amazon.com. You see, you know, we're getting used to incredibly fast delivery. We're getting used to convenience. We're getting used to being able to push something on a button and have it like delivered to you instantly at your home. We should have that in healthcare. Like, it's actually crazy that we don't today. And so to me, making sure that all of this technology, AI, autonomy, robotics that you see starting to move really quickly on the commercial side, we got to make sure that technology is able to have a positive impact on the healthcare side. That's almost like the most important place it can have an impact.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what's exciting for us is, you know, we have a pretty big rural component to our healthcare system. And so there are some of our patients and families who maybe don't have as great of access to certain services, or they don't have broadband or whatever they don't have out there. And so for us to be able to provide a service like this, where, you know, they're going to get the same delivery and the same service as someone who lives in a city is exactly. Really an amazing thing. And that doesn't happen all that often for us. So it's one of the reasons we're excited. And I can hear your passion too around this topic. So it's great.
I think it's going to blow people's minds. You know, I think we're used to a really high degree of convenience when we're ordering on DoorDash or when we're ordering something from Amazon.com. But when someone is then going and getting ready to seek, and I'm not, you know, not talking about WellSpan, but healthcare broadly in the US, when you're then going seeking healthcare, you just know it's going to be a pain in the butt. You know, it's going to be inconvenient, and it's going to be like, how many hoops do I have to jump through and how many people do I have to talk through to get something scheduled? And then you know, drive yourself all the way there. And half the time, you know, they're not going to be ready to meet with you at that time anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're going to get multiple bills thereafter. Like, you know, I don't have to go into too much detail, but I think like, simplifying that experience. Obviously, we've seen telepresence really take off over the last 3 or 4 years. There's so much that telepresence has to offer, not just in terms of convenience, but access for people who are typically maybe not having time to take a whole day off work and drive to a medical appointment. But we really think, you know, we often talk about Zipline as teleportation. Teleportation is just the other half of telepresence. So an ability to pull out a phone, talk to your WellSpan doctor, say, you know, I'm not feeling well, or my kid isn't feeling well. Here's what's going on. She can say, great, I think I know what's going on. I'm going to write you a prescription. It's going to be on your doorstep in 5 minutes. It's like, whoa, that's a really different way of engaging with the health system. You know, it's instead of asking people to constantly take time out of their day and inconvenience themselves and like plan their schedules around the healthcare system schedule, wouldn't it be magical if, you know, WellSpan was planning around your schedule and could do what was most convenient for you? And that's really, that's the vision for what we're getting to go do together.
I know. And that will be magical for sure, Keller. So, well, hey, we're excited to launch our first drones at some point. And I'm just curious, what, looking ahead, what do you envision for the future in terms of drone delivery and the work that you guys are doing?
I think that when we look at the way that logistics has grown over the last 5 years, particularly, I think you saw this massive acceleration during COVID, but it's very clear that the world is heading toward instant delivery. People want to push a button on their phone, get something delivered to them very quickly. Our expectations as consumers are being set by apps like DoorDash or GoPuff or others. I think what is interesting about, you know, though, there will be 5 billion instant deliveries this year alone in the United States. And those are just instant deliveries. And that is, you know, we're using technology that's 100 years old. We're using a human climbing into a car, a 3,000-pound gas combustion vehicle, to then drive to a pickup point, pick something up, and then drive it to your house. And that thing usually weighs on average 5 pounds. So we're using a 3,000-pound gas combustion vehicle driven by a human to deliver something that weighs 5 pounds. If you reason from a physics first principle perspective, that's an odd way of solving that problem. It's actually very expensive. It's surprisingly slow, and it's really bad for the environment. And yeah. So we think that one of the biggest impacts that automation is going to be able to have is I think it's going to be possible to build a logistics system that is 10 times as fast, half the cost, and zero emission. And the promise of that is we can build the first logistics system that serves all people equally. If you can make logistics less expensive, easier to access, you're going to open up access for billions of people on Earth who just don't get access to those kinds of services today.
Yeah, absolutely. The sustainability environmental piece is really exciting for us too. I mean, we're working very hard on that across our system. And one of the things that really drew us to the company and to what you're doing, Keller, was that piece as well. Knowing that, you know, pollution and a lot of other things have such a big impact on health, on the health of the community. And oftentimes it's our most vulnerable patients who are most impacted by those kinds of things. So for us to be part of that solution is another really important and exciting piece of the work we're going to do together.
And to quickly point out, you know, WellSpan, like so many other top health systems in the U.S., spends a lot of money and uses, you know, courier services, driving cars back and forth to deliver things when a patient needs something. That's a car that's going to the patient's home or going to a primary care facility to deliver something. What's so exciting is that when WellSpan patients are receiving deliveries via Zipline, that you can do 32 of those deliveries for one delivery using a car in terms of, you know, net carbon impact. And so when you receive a delivery in this way, you've been able to reduce your carbon impact by 97%. It's really, really exciting. There aren't that many opportunities to actually have that big of an impact on our carbon impact.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible when you think about it. And then just think about that at scale and what that does in our world. So what a really neat, cool thing. And, you know, not without a lot of pain and trials, as you mentioned, but it's certainly going to be worth it in the end. Well, Keller, we're getting to the end of our time. So I don't know if you have any final insights that you want to share with us.
You know, I think maybe the only insight I would share is that when we spoke to people about the U.S. healthcare system, I think there is this sense that U.S. healthcare is broken. It's really slow. You know, health systems are slow and conservative, and they're never, you know, they're not changing fast enough. And interestingly, I actually think that's largely not true. And it's largely not true because a lot of innovative health systems like WellSpan are actually, I think, especially over the last 5 years, taking opportunities to figure out, like, how do we provide better care to patients? How do we reduce our emissions? How do we, provide, you know, new kinds of care at different levels of the health system that weren't possible before? How do we enable healthcare at home and hospital at home? I think maybe possibly, you know, there was a permission that the emergency and the crisis of COVID almost gave, I think, us in the healthcare system, like permission to innovate, permission to go find new solutions and take risk. Like, I think we see what we want to achieve. And it's just, you know, WellSpan and other innovative health systems in the U.S. are leading the way, I think, much faster than most people who aren't paying close attention would realize. You know, I think a lot of the most exciting innovation is going to happen, is going to happen in that way. And it's going to happen in U.S. healthcare over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I hope so too, Keller. We're sure trying. And, you know, innovation, as painful as it can be sometimes, is one of our core priorities here as well. We know healthcare needs to be different for the future, hence our partnership. So we were really excited to have you on the show today, Keller. I want to thank you so much for sharing your vision and for being such a great partner.
Well, I'm really honored, and we're super excited to you know, to turn that vision into reality over the coming year and a half.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Inspiring Health. Until next time, stay healthy and be well.